You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Farah.
And I'm Veronica Rickard. Coming up, we'll find out about promising new technology that's speeding up the process of discovery for scientists working with fungi.
First, it didn't seem like it was possible, but relations between the Trump administration and the press got even worse this week for a variety of reasons.
It started when CNN retracted a story about a meeting between Russian investment agency officials and an associate of the president, and possible Senate and Treasury Department investigations related to that meeting. CNN said the story, quote, did not meet CNN's editorial standards. Three journalists involved in the story resigned on Monday.
The president responded on Twitter with attacks on CNN and other media outlets, including this statement, quoting, so they caught fake news CNN cold, but what about NBC, CBS, ABC? What about the failing New York Times and Washington Post? They are all fake news.
Things got tense at a White House press briefing this week. This is spokesperson Sarah Huckabee Sanders and Maryland editor Brian Karam.
If we make the slightest mistake, the slightest word is off, it is just an absolute tirade from a lot of people in this room. But news outlets get to go on day after day and cite unnamed sources, use stories without sources, have, you mentioned the Scaramucci story where they had to have reporters resign.
Come on, you're inflaming everybody right here, right now with those words. This administration has done that as well. Why in the name of heavens? Any one of us, right, are replaceable, and any one of us, if we don't get it right, the audience has the opportunity to turn the channel or not read us.
I think you have
been elected to serve for 4 years at least. There's no option other than that. We're here to ask you questions.
Right.
We're here to provide the answers. And what you just did is inflammatory to people all over the country who look at it and say, see, once again, the president's right and everybody else out here is fake media. And everybody in this room is only trying to do their job.
Well, I disagree completely. First of all, I think if anything has been inflamed, it's the dishonesty that often takes place by the news media.
And then this morning, President Trump attacked the hosts of the MSNBC show Morning Joe, Joe Scarborough and Mika Brzezinski, after they had criticized him for having fake copies of Time magazine featuring him on the cover on the walls of his resorts. Here are the presidential tweets, quoting, I heard poorly rated Morning Joe speaks badly of me. Don't watch anymore. Then how come low IQ crazy Mika, along with psycho Joe, came to Mar-a-Lago three nights in a row around New Year's Eve and insisted on joining me? She was bleeding badly from a facelift. I said no.
This week's events were just the latest in a long series of conflicts between President Trump and media outlets.
Jim Warren joins us now. He's chief media writer at the Poynter Institute for Media Studies and columnist for Vanity Fair. Jim, welcome back to the show.
Hey, pleasure, guys. I just listening to the excerpts you played and realizing I'm sitting up in northern Michigan at the moment. We keep thinking that the president has crossed the line. And I, when I heard the comments or saw the tweet about Mika Brzezinski this morning, I said for about the 100th time in the last year and a half, oh, he's done it this time. He's crossed the line, that this somehow will be the time, that the moment that things change. Then you have the almost now predictable hand-wringing of even a few Republicans, such as Senator Lindsey Graham of South Carolina this morning or this afternoon, who then don't tend to follow up. But then nothing changes. It's like, you know, lather, rinse, and repeat.
Let's start with those tweets then. And this has been a question since the campaign started. How is the media supposed to deal with presidential tweets, tweets that people often say are unpresidential tweets? So what do we do with them? Do we treat them as serious news? Do we say, as some people, they're a distraction from real issues? What's the media to do with that?
Well, say if you're the New York Times and Washington Post, you've got you literally have a new process in the early mornings by where you've got sort of almost all hands on deck to be on the lookout at 6 a.m. or 7 a.m. Eastern time for these things, and then you quickly treat them as you would, any declaration by the President of the United States. Doesn't mean you go to print with them or put them online instantly, but you make a quick decision about whether something is newsworthy. And more often than not, like this morning, they've been newsworthy, and it's almost head-turning how quickly a lot of outlets, produce copy this morning. But yeah, you bring the same values you would and same sense of judgment on these sort of things as you would any, formal pronouncement, and then decide, is this worth a story?
We'll get more into some of the content of those tweets and the relationship it spells out. But I want to start with the thing that I originally called you to talk about, the CNN retraction of the story. They'd been talking about an associate of President Trump's. So he'd had a meeting, and he acknowledged this meeting with a Russian investment group, reporting that that was being investigated for some reason. CNN says, hey, this did not meet our sourcing standards. We're retracting it. Three fairly prominent journalists, have accepted their resignations now. What went wrong with that story that got retracted?
You know, we still don't really know all the details. I was just about an hour or two ago emailing a pundit friend at CNN and said, okay, what exactly happened here? Was there a phony source? Was there a phony document which, you know, three veteran professionals fell prey to? One largely has, you know, CNN's, you know, pronouncement that internal standards were not heeded. But as far as the substance of it all, one is simply led to believe that Mr. Scaramucci was unfairly linked to a Russian bank. And it's sort of interesting, if folks have really been following it, how Scaramucci, even on one of the primary organs for the Trump administration, Fox News this morning, on his favorite show, in fact, Fox and Friends, Scaramucci was on, and, you know, continues to sort of take a high road and, you know, said he accepted their apology, didn't want to, you know, go much further than that, thought it was unfortunate, but certainly didn't take the rhetorically bellicose attitude that a lot of Trump allies have.
Now, when a major outlet like CNN realizes they've got this story that doesn't meet their standards, did they handle this right, this public retraction apology, and then I don't know that the journalists were fired, but they resigned and CNN accepted their resignations?
Yeah, without knowing. I mean, I've been a newspaper, mostly newspaper manager for a long, long time besides being a reporter. And I was sort of surprised with the rapidity of all this. How quickly they took an action. So my first reaction was, oh my gosh, TV tends to move rather slowly on ethical matters. I would argue historically a lot slower than elite newspapers like the Chicago Tribune, where I worked for a long time. But this happened very, very quickly, and in some measure had to also reflect the spotlight that Trump and allies have placed on them.
And then President Trump and one of his sons and other administration-connected people have kind of painted this incident over a lot of mainstream media now, saying it's all fake news, and especially Russia investigation-related stories are fake news. What do you make of their response?
Well, I think it's predictable and clearly part of a strategy to appeal to their base and really, nobody else by, you know, having this caricature of the evil mainstream media and then finding what is clearly patently a false equivalence between some of the mistakes that clearly the press has made and what have been a year and a half, almost 2 years of outright rhetorical deceits and lies by the president. So the clip you played from Sarah Huckabee Sanders' press briefing the other day was a perfect example. And one should note, followed by 2 days, an astonishing full page in the New York Times, not an ad, but a piece by, you know, the Washington Bureau labeled Trump Lies, that simply went over all the lies that the press of the United States has told simply since January 21st of this year. And if one also looks at the Washington Post, wonderful fact checker, a guy named Glenn Kessler, I mean, I think he's up into the hundreds since the campaign began. I mean, he's like some 24/7, Walgreens or Rite Aid. I mean, he doesn't seem to have any downtime when it comes to fact checking then candidate Trump and now President Trump.
So what are you looking for from the White House press corps? I mean, apart from that angry exchange we saw, in trying to, I guess, hold the White House accountable, ask questions in situations where sometimes they're on camera, sometimes they're off camera, on the record, off the record, kind of a moving target there.
Well, exactly that. You continue attempting to ask the tough questions. Don't necessarily, though, be beholden to their flacks for any great repository of truth, and you just try to work the story as hard as you can. I think, you know, a lot of time can be wasted through what amounts to kind of quasi stenography by a lot of the folks who live in that room, and a lot of the best reporting is done from folks outside it. But it, you know, this is a really tricky, you know, period of time we're in, and one of the, you know, the most head-turning bits of data or polling I've seen was done a few weeks ago, or released a few weeks ago, by the Pew Research Center, and it shows how only a year ago, Democrats and Republicans basically had a similar view of the role of the American media. When you ask them, you know, should they serve a watchdog role, roughly about 70% of Republicans, 75% of Democrats agreed with that. That's only about in January or February of 2016. That now has dramatically changed on the Republican side. That figure is down into the mid-40s, and it's clearly a result of the president and his allies having made the strategic decision to make an issue out of the mainstream media and gratuitously bash them every chance they have. Make no mistake, this has had real impact on what a lot of Americans think about us.
We're talking to Jim Warren from the Poynter Institute for Media Studies, looking at the latest news on the media and President Trump.
You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What's your reaction to CNN retracting a story earlier this week to the confrontation at a White House press briefing, to the president's tweets this morning about a talk show host and a bleeding facelift? Big picture, is the media too hard on Donald Trump, or vice versa? Call us at 800-642-1234 or post on the Central Time Facebook page. And we're continuing our conversation with Jim Warren, chief media writer at the Poynter Institute for Media Studies. And we're looking at a rough week in the relationship between the press and the president. And that includes a CNN retraction and resignations, and a tense exchange at a press briefing, and another controversial presidential Twitter statement.
You can join in with your thoughts and questions at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Central Time Facebook page, what do you think of the conflict between the media, much of the media, and the Trump administration? 800-642-1234. We'll go to our callers. Gail is with us in Fish Creek. Gail, hi.
Oh, hi. Thanks for taking my call. I cannot be silent any longer. I really do see a lot of trolling going on, and it's been going on, and it goes right along with the statistics that say that the Republicans have lowered their view about, where they've lowered down to 40% now, and that is reflective in how they've been trolling and putting out the fake news so that it is picked up by the other media. We've been watching this going on in all these different channels of it, and it's really atrocious. But I really believe they're doing it as a force of propaganda, because that way they can get control of what's out there by making it all fake. They're throwing the problem out so that they can twist it and work it to their advantage. And that has been their mode of operandi. You can see it, you can hear it, you can watch it.
Gail, thanks for the call. So Jim, she's saying the administration and allies in the media are basically propaganda operations at this point.
Well, I think that, whether you call it propaganda or not, it is clearly part of what they deem a very self-serving, premeditated, unceasing, 24/7 strategy. It is their strategy. They're going to continue. They're going to play to their base. But, you know, when you look at what appear to be his record, the president's record low approval ratings, you know, it begs the question, to what end? And when you look at what has gotten done, or I should say not done, in Congress legislatively, it raises the question, okay, fine, to what end? You now have even, you know, what, 12 or 15 or 20% maybe of Republicans buying into the Senate Republicans' health care proposal. I mean, that's nothing to click your heels over if you're in the West Wing.
Gail, thanks for the call. Go next to Steve in Cascade. Steve, hi.
Good afternoon. Say, I run a business, and this is what I think. I think that all the people in the news media don't know what's going on west of the Potomac River and should grow up. I think the president should grow up. They act like 12-year-olds. for trying to run businesses in this country and employ people. Let's get to work as a country. I appreciate excessive journalism. I don't appreciate just sensationalism and everybody's having a fight against each other.
Got it, Steve. Thanks for making the call. Jim, what do you think? President and press grow up. The public doesn't care about these back and forths.
Well, I think there, you know, for sure, as you saw in the campaign, there is, you know, frequent disjoint when it comes to the media and how they cover the country west of the Potomac. I mean, I think once again, and I don't want to paint with too broad a brush, there are some vivid exceptions. There's a Madison native and friend of mine, David Marinus, who back in the winter of 2016 did an absolutely fabulous job going all around the country and catching that anger. But I do think that there is a professional fault that we commit a lot in when in campaigns, in covering the candidates, not the country. And I think there are real questions about whether, you know, folks west of the Potomac want to hear 24/7 about, you know, the Russian influence in the campaign, whatever the merits of the case would be. But, you know, take a look at cable news, particularly CNN and MSNBC. You don't have much of a sense of much else going on in the world except what's happening with Donald Trump.
Thanks a lot for the call, Steve. We're talking to Jim Warren from the Poynter Institute for Media Studies, looking at the press and the president. Back to your calls now. Patty is with us in Superior. Patty, hi.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. My opinion is that I think our president is a bully. I think that he, just look at his behavior. You don't have to read in any tabloid about what he says. If you listen to what he says in the video and you can see he's saying these words, the way he treated the German chancellor when she was here was embarrassing. I mean, I don't have enough time to go on about the behavior of the president. I find it quite embarrassing.
Patty, thanks for the call. And so it is for Patty worth focusing on the president's behavior. What do you think, Jim?
Well, to me, the most interesting question remains, you know, go to, you know, say, counties in, say, southern rural Wisconsin and take a look at some of the folks who voted for him and then tell me whether they have been impacted by, you know, this behavior up to this point. I think polling suggests for many of those folks, no, certainly not yet. It seems to me that the key question will be at some point, will the campaign promises about jobs come to fruition? Until then, I think a lot or a fair amount of this stuff, including, you know, his behavior, as vulgar as it may be, and it doesn't get any vulgar than this morning with his tweet about Mika Brzezinski. But you know, I think for those folks, I think more important than this is going to be what happens to this economy.
Patty, thanks for the call. Eric is with us next in Eau Claire. Eric, hi.
Hi, just going off of the job statement, I mean, everybody in the administration, including Scott Pruitt, who came out like a couple weeks ago and said that there was a 50,000 person increase in coal jobs, and then it came out that there are only 50,000 coal jobs in the entire nation. You know, like, these fact checkers, the media need to be able to give us the correct information, and the entire administration is coming out with lies. It gets really tiring trying to figure out what's true and what isn't.
Eric, thanks for the call. Jim, you mentioned a PolitiFact earlier. How important are fact checking operations these days?
Well, they're hugely important. They have grown. They're growing, one should note, worldwide, so it's not just in the U.S., but it still begs the question of what happens in a world in which a lot of adherents to, say, Donald Trump feel that whatever certain elements of the media print or air, that it's some, to them, alternative reality and they're making it up. I mean, when, you know, if you showed the full page in the New York Times Sunday on Trump lies to folks in the White House, they apparently would say, no, just untrue. It's all made-up stuff. I mean, you know, imagine, you know, dealing with your kids in a situation like that. You know, you got to teach folks right and wrong, and right now there has been an increase, especially on the Republican side, especially among conservatives, of folks who disdain and reflexively mistrust anything that is produced by a certain realm of the American media, and it is unfortunate to say the least.
Jim, one more angle I wanted to get into, and just a bit of time left, the use of anonymous sources in reporting on the Trump administration. Your thoughts, your guidelines for people out there trying to cover things?
Well, that's a question for editors. And, you know, certainly in the best of all worlds, particularly when folks are being nasty and negative about people in public life, you would like folks to have the nerve and the moral courage to go on the record. But, you know, if they're not, those are decisions you got to make on every separate story. You got to sit down with a reporter, talk to a reporter on the phone, say, okay, who are these people? I do cringe, and it's not just in reporting on elected officials. It's reporting on corporate officials. It might even be reporting on manager of a baseball team. Sticking it to somebody anonymously, I think that's dangerous.
Jim, thanks a lot for joining us today. I appreciate it.
Great. My pleasure, guys.
We've been talking to Jim Warren, chief media writer at the Poynter Institute for Media Studies. He's also a columnist for Vanity Fair. He joined us today for a look at the latest news, and there's been a lot of news this week in the ongoing conflict between President Trump and the press. You can still share your thoughts. You've got a couple media options of your own. You can tweet us at Central Time WPR, or you can head over to the Central Time Facebook page. Love to hear your thoughts on some of the topics we've brought up here with Jim. The use of anonymous sources in White House coverage, the conflict between the press and the presidential administration, tweets from the president. Should the media cover those? How should they cover those? What should they do with them? And the thing that started our conversation, CNN's retraction of a story related to the Russia investigation. Share your thoughts over on the Central Time Facebook page.